solution to that. I really don't. I know there's been talk of investing in getting those safer neighbourhood teams, but they have no power. And I think that's something that even the criminals know, and they're happy to walk away from.
Thank you very much indeed, Cash. Really great insight from you, given your former job as a special police constable. Coming up after the news, I want to talk about the threat of a doctor strike again, what we now call resident doctors, used to call junior doctors. Wes Streeting is urging them not to strike, and so am I.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 2 o'clock, a senior minister's told LBC that the Chancellor has a tough set of decisions to make ahead of June's spending review. It follows warnings from the head of the Met Police over plans to release some criminals early as part of prison reforms. Sir Mark Rowley says some of those will go on to commit more crime, putting extra pressure on policing in England and Wales. Culture Minister Sir Chris Bryant says crime and security are important, but there's not a lot of money around.
These are tough decisions we, the Chancellor, the Prime Minister, have to make. Those bearing in mind what we want to try and achieve over the next few years, which includes in our plan for growth, we want to make sure that our economy is stronger and engages more people in the next few years than it has in the past, so that we spread our wealth more equitably. And in order to do that, of course, you've got to tackle crime as well.
The Home Office says it's giving the police an additional £1.2 billion in funding this year. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has been holding talks with the new German Chancellor Friedrich Merz in Berlin. Ahead of the meeting this morning, Mr. Zelensky warned that Russia was amassing 50,000 troops near Ukraine's northeastern Sumy region. Mr. Merz has promised continued military support for Ukraine. Thames Water has been fined more than £120 million over sewage spills and shareholder dividends. Ofwat says the fines will be paid by the company and its investors, not by customers. The Home Office has insisted it has no intention of reclassifying cannabis. It follows London Mayor Sir Sadiq Khan's backing of a review that says possession of small quantities should be decriminalised. Former Cabinet Minister Lord Falconer chairs the London Drugs Commission, who are behind the review. He's told LBC it's compromise that stops short of fully legalising the drug.
A lot of people in numbers have real problems from cannabis use, so you don't want to encourage cannabis use and you want to provide proper support for people, but criminalising people who possess it was a disproportionate and unhelpful thing to do.
And the National Trust is urging visitors to the Giant's Causeway to stop putting coins in gaps of the famous stones. Leaving money is supposed to bring luck, but experts say the practice is damaging the World Heritage Site in County Antrim. Removing the coins is also becoming too expensive. A short time ago in the city, the FTSE 100 was trading down 6 points at 87.72. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.19. LBC weather, sunny spells and showers for most places this afternoon, feeling quite warm in the sunshine, highs of 22 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Sheila Fogarty.
Hello there, good afternoon to you. Let's talk about a potential doctor strike. We also know that there are rumblings of industrial action by nurses as well. The Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, had this to say today to resident doctors, used to be called junior doctors.
In the last 10 months, as you've got to know me as your Health Secretary and got to know this government, you've seen a changed approach. We've made real progress on pay, we're making progress on conditions, and most importantly of all, perhaps, we're making progress in the NHS itself. I'm not going to pretend that the progress we've made in the last 10 months has been transformational and we've washed all the previous problems away, but finally, I think we can all see we're working in an improving NHS. There's lots done. There is so much more to do, and we can only do it together. And if we do, we can be the generation that will be able to look back genuinely saying that we took the NHS from the worst crisis in its history, got it back on its feet, and made it fit for the future. Industrial action will set us all back. You, me, and most importantly of all, the NHS itself.
That was Wes Streeting, Health Secretary, in a direct address, really, to junior doctors, resident doctors, as they're now known, who will be voting whether or not to strike in a ballot soon. I think he struck the right tone for the man in his job. But I'm not in his job, so I'm going to strike a slightly different tone. Still respectful, because, of course, I respect the work that doctors do and nurses and all health staff. But here's what I would say to resident doctors at this point. And you might say, look, it's easy for you to say what you're about to say, Sheila, but you're not dealing with the wage injustice and inadequacy that we've been dealing with. And again, we need your skills, we need your expertise, and it should be properly rewarded. Of course it should be. But I feel this particular moment where you might strike again, I feel it very personally, actually, for the sake of a relative of mine who has had three operations. It's a transplant operation. I won't say any more than that. Three operations cancelled, serious condition, life-threatening, life-limiting condition. And it has been, to say it has been psychologically and emotionally traumatic for this individual and their, all the family, but clearly those closest to them, is an understatement. And I only raise that because our family is one of countless families who will have heard the news that there is a possible doctor strike again. And by the way, those cancellations were because of the doctor strike, the previous doctor strike. There will be countless people, as well as my family, who have heard the news that there could be a doctor strike again, or indeed a nurse's strike, because these are wide team operations, and you know the whole NHS team is involved in a lot of care. I won't lie to you, my blood ran cold about the prospect. And again, I can't tell you what to do. I can't tell you how to vote about your own pay. That's entirely your choice. But I just want to use this platform that I have, not just to say what I have to say about my own family, but also to represent all those other families who use the NHS, and not just for routine things, but for life-saving things. You know them. You do the life-saving. You know them. You treat them. You work with them. You care for them. I know that you care for them. This isn't an attack on you. This is an appeal to you not to strike this time, not to strike yet. And I'm not saying that's the end of the conversation, and neither is Wes Streeting, clearly. But the second Labour came into power, the second that man became the Health and Social Care Secretary, he showed you he was listening. He gave you something of a chunk of what you were asking for, and a sizable chunk of what you were asking for. And he's asking you to be patient. He's not saying the door is closed. And my God, the door was closed by the previous lot. You know that. I know that. There were no kindly appeals such as the one that Wes Streeting has just made to you. Quite a different tone. Quite an overbearing tone. If you strike this time, I'm just telling you as it is. I know intellectually, I know, you know, objectively, that there are reasons that you could vote to strike. Of course there are. But subjectively, and just as a patient and as the family of somebody whose life depends on you not striking, I would, two things. I would do what I've just did a few moments ago, is almost plead with you not to. But also, you will lose some of my respect if you do this time around. You didn't last time around. I lost my patience a few times because of panic for my loved one. But I never lost my respect for doctors. But I would this time if you strike, because you have just in the early days of this government been shown the respect of being properly heard. And I know it's just a partial solution, but a partial solution to your wage crisis being addressed. And I think if your quick reaction after that is to strike again, and by the way, if you're a resident doctor who has a vote in this ballot and you think I'm getting it all wrong, please call and tell me. You know, I'm sure if I'm missing something, you can educate me, so please feel free to do so. So it's not rage I'm throwing at you or anger. It's actually panic and a bit of despair, really, about the life of a loved one. And so you will lose a bit of my respect if you strike this time, because I don't feel it objectively. I feel it deeply subjectively. And so will an awful lot of NHS patients, the people you trained and promised to care for and the people you are supposed to help. And I think it was probably, I hear what you're saying about pay. I promise you I do. But I just felt like I'd use the voice that I have to remind you that your job is also about the people who are terrified that you're about to strike again. And that includes me. So please don't, would be my urgent plea to you. And it's rare that I do this kind of thing, but I panicked when I heard that there might be another doctor strike. So please don't, would be my message. Let's talk to Dr. Peter Carter about this, former chief executive of the Royal College of Nursing and now an independent health consultant. Good afternoon to you. Do we have Dr. Peter Carter?
I'm here.
Oh, hello. I didn't hear you say anything back to me. That's all. I thought we didn't have you.
I'm here, Sheila. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Are they right to strike? Are they right to think of striking again so soon after at least a partial agreement on pay?
Well, look, I have every sympathy with the doctors. They've suffered years and years of pay erosion. And what West Streeting has now got is a situation which he didn't create and he's inherited. The doctors did well last year and they do deserve a pay rise. We get very good value for our doctors. 29% is unrealistic. They know it's not going to happen. What I would wish could be the way forward is people get around the table and try and come up with something that's reasonable, that takes things forward. If there is another strike, a lot of the progress that's been made in addressing the waiting list problem, which the government inherited, that will be compromised. You very eloquently set out the ramifications for that. So what I'm hoping is that, as with any situation, a negotiation is sorted when you sit down around the table and try and find a sensible way forward. If I could go on, Sheila, that I think the government made a big misstep because they've offered the junior doctor or the resident doctors 4% plus £750, whereas all other health workers, nurses, midwives, physios, domestics, and so on, are getting 3.6%. And there's been a lot of people saying, hey, look, there's double standards here. How come our medical colleagues are worth more than ours? So I think that was a misjudgment on the part of the government.
In this particular round of public sector pay?
In this particular, I know they'll say it's the independent pay review body, but politically...
Particularly with the doctors, that can't be seen quite in isolation, can it? Because of what came so quickly after the general election.
No, absolutely not. As I say, I have every sympathy for them. Our doctors are not well paid, you know, particularly the resident doctors, all that training, and they do deserve more. And I'm just hoping a way can be found forward which obviates the need for industrial action, which is not in anyone's interest. Look, I want West Streeting to succeed as the health secretary. We want to see those waiting lists come down.
And I want doctors to be properly paid as well.
Yeah.
And to be very well paid, if that's what it, you know, they deserve to be there amongst the cleverest people in the country, training very hard to become vital, vital members of a health service. Of course, we want them to be leaders and to be well paid as leaders in health. Of course we do. But we have just come out of such a challenging time, and I know they have. I know they have too. But I can't get past that very personal, subjective. Oh my God! Three times you have risked my loved one's life. Please don't do it again. You are a flaming doctor, you know. Yeah. And I only say that so specifically because there are countless other people out there feeling exactly the same.
Yeah, look, absolutely. Look, if thousands of doctors withdraw their labour, it is going to impact on care. Take a straightforward issue like someone waiting.
Let me go further than that, Peter. You might not want to. It's going to kill people.
Well, yes.
It's going to kill and harm people is what it's going to do.
If people are not getting their referrals to their outpatient clinics for their scans,
operations,
for their diagnostics, it's got to have an impact. It's incongruous to think thousands of people could down tools and it will not have an impact. But I work with doctors all the time And they don't want this to happen, which is why I feel the way forward is to sit down and let's see if we can find a sensible long-term plan over several years to try to get some pay restoration. There was a big bang last year, and it still hasn't rectified that. But if you could get into a long-term plan, you might find a way forward where doctors might think, well, we're going to have to suck this up.
And trust
in
them.
In the interest of patient care, yeah. We're going to trust this government to be true to their word.
And the government has to then be true to its word, or we're in real trouble.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But also to do the same for other health workers, because it is a team effort.
Yeah, it is. And a word on nursing, given your former role as the chief executive of the RCN. Nurses, too, having their own problems, aren't they?
Yeah, look, I mean, a 3.6% pay award, that really is derisory. And remember, these are the people that turned in 24/7 right throughout the pandemic. These are the people that do excellent work 365 days a year, as do many other disciplines. And I really do think that the government should try to do something to give them a little more. They're not going to ask for something which unrealistic. But the government really needs to try to hold out something to the RCN and indeed the other unions, Unison, GMB and the rest, so that people can feel that they've got a government that they can trust. And that's why I say do a long-term deal.
Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Peter Carter, which I think was possibly inherent in that statement from Wes Streeting. Maybe he has to be more explicit with the doctors about that. Peter is the former chief executive of the Royal College of Nursing, now an independent health consultant. Simple question to you. If you're a doctor or the family member of a doctor, and you know, I'm sure you talk about this at home, I'd love to hear your thoughts. And as a patient, as a user of the NHS, whether you've got a scenario like we do in our family or whether it's just your general view, what will you think of the doctors if so soon after a partial settlement of their pay they strike again? What will you think of the doctors if they strike again? 0345 6060 973. It's 216.
This is LBC.
Hillary's mid-season sale just got even better. Get up to 40% off hundreds of made-to-measure styles. Plus, get an extra 10% off absolutely everything. That's 10% off all blinds, curtains and shutters. And an extra 10% off our new range of awnings and pergolas, with measuring and fitting always included. Book your free in-home appointment today. Visit hillarys.co.uk. Hurry, Hillary's extra 10% off everything must end 2nd of June. Conditions apply.
Discover outlet shopping at the O2 this spring. Save up to 70% off RRP on over 60 designer brands, including Nike, Adidas, Levi's, Kate Spade, The Cosmetics Company Store, Le Creuset, and more. And with over 30 bars and restaurants, a cinema, bowling, climbing, interactive football, mini golf, paddle tennis, and indoor skydiving, why not stay for the day? Visit us at North Greenwich, just 15 minutes from central London. Search outlet shopping at the O2 and plan your trip today.
How likely is she to, you know, have another heart attack?
Can I still go to the gym after heart surgery?
Is my mum still my mum if she has a new heart?
When it comes to heart health, no question is too big or small. That's why British Heart Foundation have dedicated cardiac nurses you can speak to by phone, email or online chat.
Hi, this is Chloe from British Heart Foundation. How can I help?
Search BHF Cardiac Nurses.
Sheila Fogarty on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Before I get to your calls, police in Liverpool have been given more time to question a 53-year-old driver who allegedly ploughed into a crowd at Liverpool's Victory Parade on Monday, injuring at least 79 people. Seven, we are told today, remain in hospital. Let's get to your calls on the doctor's strike. Karen has called from Kingston. Hello, Karen.
Hi. So my interest is as a doctor's mum. So I've obviously been following this for ages. And you talk about trust and respect. And as a cancer patient, I have felt exactly as vulnerable as you've described. However, trust. Firstly, how can resident doctors trust any... I'm talking about the last government and this one, are paying physician associates still 30% more than doctors. Now, doctors are now paying about £100,000 to qualify with ongoing fees and expenses every year that other groups don't have. These aren't being paid by trusts or by anybody. They can't earn enough to pay off the debts, which get bigger every year. So If they say they can't pay them, why are they rolling out physician associates and paying them 30% more? I mean, that makes no sense. They're also still importing medical graduates from around the world still, though Wes Streeting has said he will address this. But this is why unemployed doctors are a thing this year, for the first time I can certainly recall. And then as far as respect goes, how does the way that doctors are used in hospitals engender any respect? They're treated like dirt. They're sent across the country willy-nilly after qualifying, you know, trying to get a new job, trying to progress, because basically they're a nuisance to trust because they rotate. Trusts don't like doctors. They'd rather have staff who are compliant and don't move, hence PAs. So... And I hear what
well,
you say.
Well, they
doctors,
have to. Well, just on that, Karen, on the PA thing, you're right. That is a big problem. And I would be affronted if I was a doctor as well about the physician associates.
Affronted doesn't really cover it, does it? It's
yes, but on that. But you
like
said.
Like waving two fingers,
what,
isn't it?
Yes, it is. But what you said about the NHS trusts and the not liking doctors, they have a statutory duty to provide a certain number of doctors in the trusts, in the way that they would with midwives and nurses and the rest of it. You know, so it's not... of course it can be improved. I mean, we've seen unemployed GPs, for God's sake, which is insane. Home-trained GPs, home-trained midwives with no post to go to. That's funding issues, isn't it? Yeah. And choices made around funding issues. But I really do hear you. And, it, you know, if he was my son, I would be saying... I would be banging the drum as well. I just... It just terrifies me.
Can I just ask, Sheila, who made young people, say the average graduate 22, 23, who made them responsible for the NHS? They've already carried such a disproportionate load in terms of working hours. For a start, they all work 48 hours. They don't spawn off home after 37 and a half. That's a starting point. Who made them responsible when the funding decisions are made by governments and the hospitals? Why do they have to carry the load, the burden of... You know, the guilt factor, if I can refer back to you saying they will carry that when they're all in there battling away. They could all swan off to Australia, be barbecuing on the beach at five and earn twice as much.
Yeah, I certainly don't hold them responsible. No, I know. I don't think they are responsible for the whole of the NHS. What I'm saying is their decision will have knock-on effects for all kinds of procedures that need to take place. So they are responsible for their decision is all I would say, Karen.
It for sure, but what do they do when they are still in a position of being treated with this contempt with respect to pay, physician associates, their jobs being taken by international medical graduates, say we're investing in our doctors, not employing them? Again, because they want an independent, they're too independent, they'd rather have a workforce they can control.
Does your son know that if he strikes, people will die? Does he see it that clearly? Because it's true. People
he
don't talk about it enough.
Every day, he goes into work every day to stop people dying.
I'm aware.
He went through COVID to stop
I'm
people
aware.
Dying.
I don't doubt it.
And I'm not aware that people did die during the last strike, but they're certainly dying in corridors now at the rate of, what, two train loads a week? I think that the analogy is.
I'm not under any illusions about the NHS, Karen. I'm just saying.
Of their mental health.
I'm just saying when you have life-saving operations cancelled three times because of a doctor's strike, not because of anything else, because of a doctor's strike, and this has happened to certainly tens of thousands of people, if not millions of people, then your son, like everybody else, I hate to be harsh, but your son, like everybody else, has to look at his place in that chain.
So how do we preserve our NHS when they're treating people so badly so that they can't even afford to buy a home, have kids? Doctors at the moment... very difficult to have a family life. You might have to uproot at the drop of a hat on your training rotation. You can't afford to buy a house on £17 an hour, much less anywhere to recuperate when you finish your shift. And at the same time, the government who have set this up are paying the PA next to you, who you're legally responsible for, 30 quid at 30% more.
Yeah.
Is that a realistic stance on which to blame doctors?
Yeah. No, but I'm not blaming anybody. I'm talking about realities and pleading with people not to strike. That's what I'm doing. Pleading with doctors not to strike. I'm not ignoring the realities. I absolutely hear what you say, Karen. And I don't think Wes Streeting is ignoring the realities either. I just think all I'm doing is pleading with doctors not to strike. That's all I've got in my armoury, I'm afraid. I hear all of the things you say, and they are legitimate complaints. And it is a legitimate... ambition and request of doctors to be properly paid. I just say keep engaging with Wes Streeting, keep engaging with the Department of Health is what I say. And then I have my own sort of personal plea added to that. Thank you very much, Karen, for your call and for the work that your son obviously does, works very hard. Andy's call from Reading. Hello, Andy.
Hello. I'm fully supportive of the doctor's strike if they go down that route. I think we as a society need to stop blackmailing them into saying, oh, you know, someone might die or operations are being cancelled. You know, when we as a society are happy for failing organisations like Thames Water's senior executive to get hundreds of thousands of pounds in pay, bonuses, etc., and share options, we as a society need to grow up and pay our doctors properly if we want a proper national health. They've suffered for 14 years, now 15 years, of 1% increases, apart from last year. 1% increase.
Last year? What happened last year, Andy?
They had a pay increase that was negotiated with the government.
And that government has only been in power less than a year, and they're threatening to strike again.
I'm talking about government in general, not Labour, the Labour government. I'm talking about government in general over the last 15 years have treated our public servants, and in particular the health, the people that we rely on, nurses, doctors, etc., for our health, they've treated them appallingly. And now when the doctors are turning around and saying, we're not prepared to not put food on our table, or nurses not prepared to put food on our table, or make the choice of energy bills versus food because costs have gone up so much and we've only had a 1% salary increase for the 14 years of the Conservative government. No, we've had enough of being treated like SH1T, and we want something to be done about it, because of those 14 years of austerity, the Labour government is now faced with the doctors going, we want 22% to bring us back into parity, which is where we would have been with an inflationary equaling pay rise over the last 15 years. So that's the only problem that the Labour government have, is the previous governments and successive governments devaluing our national health, devaluing our doctors, devaluing our staff, and I am going to say your argument about a relative who had life-saving operations cancelled is blackmail. It's blackmail. You're blackmailing the doctors into not taking action based on the fact that you're using someone else's ill health to justify them not getting the salary that they deserve. And because they come up against boneheads who don't appreciate that within government, they're having to take drastic action. The first time last year, at the end of the Conservative government, where they went on strike and took that action, and nurses went on strike as well and took that action, because we keep valuing senior executives of private organisations and allowing them to take huge bonuses when they actually should be in prison for poisoning our water systems. But we allow them to take huge bonuses. And we've got to stop blackmailing them. I work for the ambulance service, and we have to stop blackmailing our NHS workers by using excuses like someone might die, or, you know, an ambulance might get, you know, the ambulance might not get there in time. You know, treating them properly.
Can I come back on a few things you said there, Andy?
Yes, of course you can.
A couple of times, and I'm going to be pretty harsh on you, you can be harsh back on me. A couple of times in that long statement you just made there, you, in my view, used a tone and sounded very dismissive, sort of batting away as though it were a fly, the idea that anyone's, let alone, you know, it's not about me, anyone's loved one might die. That's not a small matter to anybody when they're thinking of a member of their family. And the reason it's different, the reason it isn't blackmail, is I've been at pains in this hour to say that I understand and see clearly the injustice against doctors when it comes to pay. I do. And so does the health secretary. And he engaged with them on day one a million times better than the previous government did. And he got some way, and he said at the time, it's only some way. I understand it's only some way to satisfying what you need. Stay with me, keep in the room, keep in the conversation, and we'll get there. That's essentially what he said. And I'm not I haven't finished. I am not blackmailing anybody. I made that really clear. I've got family who work in the health service. I see the pain of their under respect, the lack of respect that they experienced when they worked in the healthcare and the lack of pay. I've seen it firsthand. I get it. I'm pleading with them not to strike. And I'm not just doing it because of my relative. I'm doing it because of loads of people's relatives. And I'm sorry, even if it's a pay dispute and even if there's injustice, and there is without a doubt, even if those two factors are at play, we are talking about healthcare. We're not talking about widgets. We're not talking about whether enough cars are made. We're talking about human life. And any doctor and anyone in the health service who loses sight of human life is a problem. Now you can talk.
Okay. So if Wes Streeting had come to the table and said, I'm putting together a 5-year plan, I want to sit down with you and agree a wage structure over the 5 years, which will bring you back some parity in that 5 years to where we feel that you should be. Yeah, that would have been a sensible discussion to have with them right from day one. And he never did that. Yeah, he didn't do that. What he did was satisfy the immediate problem of junior doctors striking in hospitals by giving them a pay rise over 2 years. And they've now come back to the table for more because of the continued increase in prices and the cost of living crisis. So I hear what you're saying about Wes Streeting. I hear what you're saying about he's willing to sit down with them and discuss.
Did you hear what I said about human life? And stop. Sorry. Talk. Could you hear what I said about human life?
I'll come back to that in a second. I'll finish that. Well, I'll finish my point with what you said about human life. Okay, so he hasn't taken the opportunity to sit down with them and plan a wage structure, a wage increase, which the government can afford over a 5-year period. He hasn't done that. He did it day one, and now they've come back to the table for more, and that has led to this discussion on the radio about doctors striking and then human life. And I agree, human life is important, yeah? Absolutely, it's important.
It's the ultimate important thing.
And it is, and I don't think doctors are dismissing that.
Well, you did.
Look at the way that they... didn't say that. I said people are blackmailing doctors. I never said anything about doctors.
You sneered at me using a relative story.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, and I maintain that criticism because you can come to the table and say, I'm pleading with you not to strike because of the health of the country, because of people who require
operations. I have said that. I've included the millions of families facing the same.
You started off by using your own relative.
That's right? I'm trying to make an impact in my conversation, and I immediately... It's not. It's not. And I said, you're just not listening, Andy. I said right at the beginning, multiple times, I'm giving you my story to tell you the impact of how this feels if you don't have a similar story. But I know that millions of families have a similar story, or at least hundreds of thousands of families have a similar story. That's why I tell my story. And it's not even my story. It's a loved one's story, but clearly it affects me because I love them. And I think to be even remotely sneery or dismissive of that is really mean-spirited, Andy. At the very least, it's mean-spirited. And in response to the points that you raised, Peter Carter made the same points about suggesting that longer term proper conversation and framework. You chose 5 years as a timescale, fair enough. And I agree with you. That is what should happen. But it is essentially what Wes Streeting has been talking about in that statement he gave as well. Don't leave the room. Stay in the conversation. There's an ongoing conversation. The previous government closed the door on them. It is a different ball game, and the doctors, if they strike again, are behaving as though they are still being treated like dirt by the Tory government, which they were. In terms of good manners, at the very least, let alone all the other things you rightly pointed to as the lack of respect. But I'm afraid I won't just let go the idea that raising an individual's life or many thousands of individual lives as central to this discussion as some kind of over-emotional byproduct that's aimed at blackmailing doctors. It is anything but. It is the whole point. It's 2:33. Let's get the headlines from Dominic Ellis.
Police have been given more time to question a man arrested over the Liverpool Victory Parade collision. A 53-year-old is being questioned on the suspicion of attempted murder after a car was driven into crowds on Monday. A retired surgeon who admitted sexually abusing hundreds of children in France has been jailed for 20 years. Joël Lesquonec, who's 74, admitted attacking young patients at several hospitals between 1989 and 2014. And the Deputy Prime Minister, Angela Rayner, has rejected a claim by Britain's most senior police officer that prison reforms will lead to more crime. The Met Commissioner, Sir Mark Rowley, says a review of sentencing was published without an assessment on the impact of police forces. LBC weather, sunny spells and showers for most places this afternoon, feeling quite warm in the sunshine, highs of 22 degrees.
This is LBC.
Big, big, big motoring world. Wow Motoring World.
Yes, that's right. Big Motoring World is also Wow Motoring World because we price check our cars every day to guarantee you our best price with up to 95% of them below market value. Big Motoring World, we're big on what matters to you. See website for nearest store. Visit bigmotoringworld.co.uk or one of our stores for our price promise and terms and conditions.
Hillary's mid-season sale just got even better. Get up to 40% off hundreds of made-to-measure styles. Plus, get an extra 10% off absolutely everything. That's 10% off all blinds, curtains and shutters. And an extra 10% off our new range of awnings and pergolas, with measuring and fitting always included. Book your free in-home appointment today. Visit hillarys.co.uk. Hurry, Hillary's extra 10% off everything must end 2nd of June. Conditions apply.
I'm making a robot head with an Amazon box. I've painted it silver, and Daddy helped me make it.
At Amazon, we're actually using paper bags for more of our deliveries.
And now, I'm making a paper hot air balloon. And I even made a little brown basket. And I'm making a dog that looks just like Monty.
Just one of the ways we've reduced the weight of our packaging by more than 40% since 2015. Which is still good for playtime.
Mom, where's the scissors?
To learn more, visit aboutamazon.co.uk/sustainability.
Barclays Ready-Made Investments. The clue's in the name. Not Barclays Where Do I Begin Investments. You can start from £50. That's why they're not difficult to get started investments either. And you can choose your risk level. So they're hardly in at the deep end investments. So if you've got savings and you want to help grow your money over 5 years or more, then search Barclays Ready-Made Investments. Make money work for you. Investing is not for everyone. The value of investments can fall as well as rise, and you may get back less than you invest. T's and C's apply.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC with Sheila Fogarty. Text 84850.
I'll get back to your calls on the doctor strike in a few minutes. Before that, though, I want to talk about Donald Trump's latest policy on foreign students. His administration, anyway, has ordered US embassies around the world to stop scheduling appointments for student visas at all, as it prepares to expand social media vetting of foreign applicants. Kate Fisher, LBC's US correspondent, joins me to talk about this. Where has this come from? Is this about the campus protests?
Well, the State Department is certainly not giving us those details, but of course that's the first question we all want to know. And looking at the way the administration has behaved so far, that is what it seems, you know, the most likely assumption is that this is, they want to root people out before they even get here, about what their political affiliations may be, what their opinions may be. Clearly, the State Department itself has not said that, but looking at what they've done in the past, we've had examples of other people on different visas coming into the US whose social media has been searched when they've been entering, and then they've been held and questioned. And certainly the Trump administration has for a long time been very critical of universities who've allowed the pro-Palestinian protests to take place on their campuses. And this appears to be another step towards trying to take control over, you know, private academic institutions.
And the checking of social media is a very Chinese tactic, isn't it? I have a friend from Hong Kong who, when he goes back to Hong Kong, he wipes all his social media as far as one can and leaves his phone at home and has a different phone to go back to Hong Kong with.
Yeah, absolutely. The kind of things that the US has criticized the Chinese government about for many years appears to be creeping in to the way they are now dealing with immigration. And yeah, I think it's not just prospective students that are concerned, but anyone who is not, you know, a full citizen born here is concerned, whatever visa they're on. And in fact, yesterday at the State Department briefing, just before this was officially confirmed, the spokeswoman was asked about it. And she said, you know, we will use every tool we have to vet people coming into this country, regardless of what visa they're applying for.
I mean, this, you know, who knows, this may well stop a, quote, undesirable person coming in to America, but it will also stop great talent coming into America, won't it?
Yeah, and this is the argument the universities have. You know, this isn't just punishing us as academic institutions and the students who want to come here, but it's potentially punishing the US economy, the potential for new business and new innovation. I mean, in the last academic year, foreign international students brought nearly $44 billion to the US economy. So it's a huge amount of money, but it's also about the kind of the brain power, if you like, that comes in to these institutions. And the concern is that they will then go to other countries to study. Donald Trump is saying he would like to use the money that he's saving on this to put it into kind of trade colleges and more sort of practical institutions where people can learn trades. But clearly there is, which appeals to many of his voters. But the concern from these institutions is that they are going to lose a lot of potentially fantastic talent, but also obviously a huge amount of money.
There are some, I noticed on social media here, there are some countries stepping in and offering a visa, student visas to, you know, saying to those countries affected, come to us instead. And I've seen a few British politicians saying, yeah, we should be doing the same. These things have real knock-on effects, don't they, Kate?
Yeah, and it's taken several years for the US. It wasn't always the destination to go. You know, Harvard, Yale are now seen as these hugely prestigious institutions. But America hasn't always been the place to go. And so the concern is that they will lose their reputations as well as not being able to invest the money that they were getting from the international students. Also, Alan Garber, who is the president of Harvard, yesterday gave an interview to NPR saying, you know, this is not just a concern for the students that want to be here, but the kind of contracts that we work on for the government are really important things that the government wants us to do. It's research into things like cancer drugs and AI. And he feels that by, this is specifically Harvard, who has been attacked even more by the Trump administration. They're trying to stop them enrolling foreign students altogether. His response is this will not just affect those students in our institution, but the whole country and potentially the world because of the research that we could be doing and now we won't be able to.
Thank you very much, Kate. Very good to talk to you. Kate Fisher, LBC's US correspondent. Let me get back to your calls on the potential doctor strike that we are facing. BMA members will be balloted. Resident doctors, as they're now called, I think, by the way, much better name for what they do. Calling them junior doctors always diminished, I think, what they actually are and what they did. Ian, a call from Sheffield. Hello, Ian.
Hi, Gila. Thanks for letting me call in.
Pleasure.
In relation to the gentleman that was on before from the ambulance service and talking about pay parity, I've got a real problem with doctors considering going on strike when they received a significant pay award last year. And we'd all love to be paid back where we were 14 years ago before the Tories took over and ran the public sector into the ground. But it's unrealistic to think that we can all have a pay lift and put us back where we were before. I accept that junior doctors and doctors and NHS staff should be paid more, but so should a lot of people in the public sector, police officers, people in the fire service. There are lots and lots of good
people in the private sector. People in the private sector.
Absolutely, but the government don't run the private
sector. No, they don't. But the point is that doctors aren't the only people who've been feeling this pain.
Absolutely. And to think that they can be put back to the position they were in many years ago, what about the rest of us? Mm. That's just not realistic. And to talk about going on strike, when the new Labour government did everything that they did last year when they came into power to try and sort that problem out.
Yeah.
And now to threaten them again with strike, I just think it's really unrealistic and really unfair.
I agree with you. And having said all of that, I do think it's important that we understand where they're coming from. And I do understand where they're coming from. And I also think we need to, as a nation, to get why so many are going to Australia or to the Emirates or just getting the hell out, because the pressure has been immense that they've experienced, not least through COVID. Immense pressure, immense demands on them, and emotional as well as physical demands on them and professional demands. So, they have my respect deeply for all of those things and for the skills and work that they do more generally. But I think the point you make is a really important one, Ian, because, the bottom line is, it's not about widgets. It's about human life. And that isn't about blackmailing people. It's about reminding people, doctors in this case, what their job is.
Absolutely. And they should sit down and discuss things and work out something which is fair and reasonable. And getting back to a position they were in 14 years ago is nonsensical. And the country can't afford it.
All right. Thanks very much, Ian, for your call, Ian, in Sheffield. James has sent a text saying, thank you for talking about this. I am a resident doctor and I have been for 6 years. I will be for another four. I will be voting no to the strike, says James. The issue isn't primarily pay, and adjusting pay will not address the issues. The health secretary needs to look at adjusting factors like reducing moves during training, something the mother of a doctor who called pointed out. Shortening training, making moving easier, amongst a number of other areas. Unfortunately, the Health Secretary or the Department of Health has not made any comment on this. James would obviously like them to. Additionally, from the BMA's perspective, it is not as good a lightning rod to rally around. Thanks, James. Good to get your perspective as a doctor, somebody who will be voting in that ballot. It's 2:45.
LBC, this morning on Nick Ferrari at Breakfast.
Is it time to decriminalise the possession of cannabis? Well, a commission that's been set up by the London Mayor, Sir Sadiq Khan, and chaired by a very prominent politician, thinks it probably is. The chair is Charlie, now, of course, Lord Faulkner, who's a KC, and joins me now. How am I going to get it? If it's decriminalised, how will I buy it?
Well, that's the compromise that is made. You have to buy it through criminal sources, unless you've got...
How will your recommendations work, Lord Faulkner? Because I can use it for personal use, but the minute I go to someone on Blackheath High Street or Greenwich High Street, I'm breaking the law, am I not?
You're not breaking the law, but the person who's selling it to you is. The current position, Nick, is that so many people get it now so easily that it is extremely unlikely to have an impact on the actual amount that people use.
Nick Ferrari at Breakfast. Back tomorrow morning from 7. Listen on your radio, on Global Player, and the new LBC app.
Car owners, you could be owed thousands in compensation. If you bought a car on finance from 2007 onwards, it may have been sold with hidden commissions. My claim group is working hard to help. So, even if you've forgotten your details, make sure you check. Text CLAIM to 86688. My claim group is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Text CLAIM to 86688.
Claims made simple.
Hillary's mid-season sale just got even better. Get up to 40% off hundreds of made-to-measure styles. Plus, get an extra 10% off absolutely everything. That's 10% off all blinds, curtains and shutters. And an extra 10% off our new range of awnings and pergolas, with measuring and fitting always included. Book your free in-home appointment today. Visit hillarys.co.uk. Hurry, Hillary's extra 10% off everything must end 2nd of June. Conditions apply.
Amazon offers employees up to £8,000 for education and training, like Juliet. She's now a trained technician, and to her, the sound of machinery in need of repair reminds her of how far she's come. In 2 years, she's landed her dream job, providing her with valuable skills. That's up to £8,000 for education and training at Amazon. Eligibility conditions apply.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. Discovering amazing destinations like Ibiza, Lanzarote and Crete. And relaxing in the sun with award-winning VIP service from the Which? Travel Brand of the Year 2024. So, book now from London Luton Airport with Jet 2 holidays. Package holidays you can trust. Up to not all protected. Subject to availability and conditions.
Getting ready for summer? It's time to scrub the barbecue, mow the lawn and dust off the wine glasses. At Waitrose, we're getting ready with 25% off six or more bottles of wine or fizz over £6. Like a fruity San Leo Prosecco, perfect with aged Parma ham. Or a crisp Whispering Angel Rosé, ideal for your first barbecue. And our number one Chablis, the aromas of fresh peach pair beautifully with a seafood salad. Start the summer with some great savings at Waitrose. Selected stores online, subject to availability. Excludes Scotland, boxed wines and bottles priced £100 and over.
Leading Britain's conversation. Sheila Fogarty. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
I've been a nurse for over 40 years in the NHS, says Emily. There are more doctors on the wards than there used to be. They need to get on with it, says Emily. Callum takes a different view, vilifying doctors who've gone decades with their pay dropping further and further behind inflation is a new low. I'm not vilifying doctors. Don't plead with the doctors, plead with politicians who are dragging them closer and closer to the breadline. Thank you for that, Callum. I'm not vilifying doctors. I mean, I do sometimes wonder whether people have ears when they listen to the programme, because I have been at pains to talk about the degree to which I get what they're saying and the respect I have for them. And for, well, not, you know, for all of them, there are some terrible doctors, you know, but there are some terrible journalists. You might think I'm one of them, I don't know. But there's some, you know, not everybody in a profession is brilliant. But the point is, the majority are there doing a brilliant job and trying to care for us and heal us when we need them to. You know, how could you not respect that profession? But there have to be limits sometimes. And I think for now, with human life, which is their business at its core, at the core of what they do is human life. And I think another doctor strike would threaten human life. All kinds of failures in the NHS are threatening human life and causing death. I know that. But I wouldn't want to be a doctor that was adding to it, is all I'm saying. I'm not vilifying doctors for a second. Joe in Greenwich. Hello, Joe.
Yeah, hi, Sheila. Long time listener, but I think on this one, you got it completely wrong this hour, to be honest with you. I'm just trying to ask you a question, to be honest. So, LBC arguably is a critical service for a lot of people's mental health. You know, arguably, people, I don't know, Ben Kentish will put people to sleep, for example, or, you know, people wake up to Nick Ferrari, and that's kind of what they use on a day-to-day basis. Mm. So if you, as an LBC presenter now, right, you know, you're looking over and you're seeing that over at Capital, they're being paid twice as much as you, and meanwhile, what you're doing is a critical piece of work, and you have done so for years. Mm. Is it fair? You know, let's say, for example, I don't know, someone's grandma relies on Sheila Fogarty every single day because that's what gets them through their day, critical to their mental health. Is it then fair for you to turn around and say, well, you know, I don't care about your grandma's mental health. I'm not going to go on strike, which is effectively what you're saying by trying to say that, well, think about everybody who's going to die.
No, I'm saying I do care about your grandma's mental health, which is why I'm not going on strike. I'm almost certain some presenters at Capital earn twice as much as me. I don't care. I don't know what anybody else earns who works with me. Never have. As long as I'm satisfied or in the conversation with my managers about whether I'm satisfied or not with the pay I'm getting, that is my only concern. I don't think you compare the two. I understand that radio can be I know it's an important service for a lot of people. I do. I get that. But I don't think you can compare it to the health service.
No, I don't think it's compatible. Well, I thought.
Sorry to interrupt you. Also, another reason you can't when it comes to pay is the pay structure in media and in entertainment and in news media vastly different. Vastly different. In the course of my career, because of choices I've made sometimes, choices that have been made for me other times, my salary has gone down to zero. Because I'm freelance. Yeah. So sometimes my salary's gone down to zero. Sometimes it's been incredibly strong and then much weaker for a period of time because I've been between gigs, as we say. You know, it's an entire... You can't compare. It's just not...
Fine.
It's like comparing apples with oranges. You know, it's not the same.
Which is true. But, for example, I'm a teacher and that would therefore be very comparable. And using the example specifically that you've mentioned of junior doctors,
health would be comparable with teaching, yeah?
Yes.
Yes, it would.
So, exactly. So, using the example of the junior doctors, then they have to. It's not necessarily an issue of pay. I don't think that's a major factor.
Which is what one of the junior doctors who texted said. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're a resident doctor, imagine, you know, you've lived in, let's say, Leicester, you qualified in Leicester, and now you're being sent all the way up to Halifax. You have no choice, and you have, and it's almost at a fraction of the pay that you would have got had you have worked in London for doing the exact same job. So I think what Wes Streeting needs to do, rather than pleading with them, is actually make the practical changes.
He isn't pleading. I'm pleading. I hear you, but in the early part of my career, I was, when I was at the BBC and I was staff, so before I was freelance, I was sent to, I trained in London. So imagine I'm a doctor. I trained in London. I then had training attachments. So I don't know what they call that in the health service, but I had attachments in Humberside, then the Channel Islands, Guernsey in particular, then Bristol, then Sheffield, then got a staff job. No, then got a contract in Liverpool and then got a staff job in Liverpool.
Yeah.
Then gave that up, went freelance, worked in London, da-da-da-da. That was the beginning of my career. I had no say whether I went to all of those places until
Respectfully, the working world is very different. And I feel like from people who work, or younger people who are working in the healthcare profession right now, they will tell you that the NHS is stuck in the early 2000s. And right now, for example, using the example you just used, oh, you know, you have to travel around and work in loads of different places. The world is a very different place now, whereby, you know, you don't need to necessarily go and check. It is a very different place.
I honestly think, I mean, I don't dispute what you're saying, that doctors would know better than I would about the shape of their day and the shape of their training 2, 3, 4 years. Whatever period they're talking about. But the beginning of anybody's career is a bit hocus pocus, isn't it? All over, and that's not the word, but you know what I mean? It's a bit sort of back and forth when you're building your experience.
That doesn't mean that in real terms they should be working for £16 an hour when somebody in Tesco is paid £11 an hour, for example. In real terms, as a resident doctor, regardless of whether or not, you know, the beginning of their career means that they're likely to have to do loads of things for experience or whatnot.
Okay, well, you think there's... I don't have a leg to stand on. Our previous caller felt that the junior doctors... the resident doctors were pushing it, given the 20% pay rise they got in the first part of this government. But thank you very much indeed for your call, Joe. I want to talk to or hear from Henry Samuel, France correspondent for the Daily Telegraph. An important verdict in a trial, former surgeon who admitted sexually abusing hundreds of patients has been sentenced to 20 years in jail. Tell us more, Henry. Tell us about the case and about this individual.
Yes, a very much awaited verdict. Joel Lesqualnik, who's 74, was a retired surgeon, and he's been sentenced to 20 years in prison, which is the maximum for aggravated rape, for raping and sexually assaulting 299 victims. The vast majority of them children. The average age was 11. So it's France's largest ever paedophile trial that just come to an end. So clearly he was going to get the maximum 20 years, which he got. There's kind of relief amongst the victims, but there's also some anger because while he did get the 20 years, they were asking for something extra, which was that he be put into a special centre even after he'd served his term. And the judge decided not to go that far. It's not really clear why. I mean, he did ask, he said that he wanted no leniency, but he did want to be able to try and be a better person. And victim said, look, this guy should never come out. So there is some anger over that, but that's where we're at right now.
And obviously, we have to do it carefully and in a seemly way, but give us a sense of his crimes here.
Well, he was a surgeon in Brittany, and between 1989 and 2014, he essentially sexually assaulted or raped. This is what's so terrible about this thing. Young patients, vulnerable young patients who are under anaesthetic or recovering from surgery, and so in various ways. And he managed to get away with it for a very long time and was only really caught very, very belatedly after abusing a neighbor's 6-year-old daughter. That was in 2017. And then what happened is police raided his house. And they found a succession of black notebooks in which he'd marked everything down, everything, all the abuse, very meticulously. And then followed a terrible investigation in which police some would say in a rather brutal manner, contacted all these people who were in the notebooks and said, I'm going to read something to you, you know, please sit down, and then told them that they had been abused or raped. And obviously, lots of them had absolutely no memory of it because they were under anaesthetic. But then some of them did, you know, some of them, it came back to them. And also lots of them said it explained, although they had no memory of it, how, why they had various problems in their life, you know, and that they'd so kind of gone off the rails slightly or had trauma in other ways. So it's been a very traumatic trial.
This was something that emerged as well. There are shades of the dreadful court case, the Pelican that dominated French news, didn't it? And in fact, world news for so long. There are shades of the same about this, aren't there, in some ways?
There are, in that, you know, obviously Gisèle Pelican, who was the, you know, who was the wife of Dominique Pelican, who invited strangers to rape her in their home. He also, it was while she was, he drugged her. So again, this was abuse, sort of chemical submission, as they call it in France. So there's that thing. There is also a certain amount of anger amongst victims here, because obviously the Pelican trial made global headlines. It was a huge, huge thing. And I think a lot of victims are wondering why that this hasn't happened in this case, given the sheer number of victims. Because although, you know, it was one man who's clearly a terrible pervert, the scandal here is that he was allowed to continue unabated for so long, despite a whole series of alerts that started at local level in a hospital, you know, where there was a whistleblower. And it started back in 2004 when the FBI tipped off French authorities to say this man had been looking at child pornography and had paid for it. And he got off with a 4-month suspended sentence and was allowed to carry on, went back to work the next day. Nobody knew anything about it. Then when somebody found